So for Team USA, we're honored to have here Sean Spradlin from the Baseball is Never Boring podcast and a man doing a great job with WBC Central, where you can find rosters, uniform reveals, all the latest news, all the latest previews. You can check him out. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. Yeah, it has been so much fun to cover over the last couple months, but I can't wait for the tournament.
It's a pity we had to wait more than normal for this event, right? But
Yeah.
I'm gonna dive straight into Team USA. In one of your podcasts, you said that one big difference for this team than from previous versions was the presence of Mike Trout, right? Which I would like you to explain a little bit because Mike Trout in the Angels tend to, if anything, underperform, right? So he's not like an inspiring leadership type from the outside, right? Why do you think it will be different, and what will make him the new David Wright?
Yeah, I like that because people are calling him Captain America, which is what David
Okay.
Wright was called. You're so right. I think the best answer to that is to go to like what has happened, the events that have occurred after he committed. Because if you listen to Mark DeRosa, who is the manager for Team USA, and he said this in like any of his interviews, and we saw it on Twitter as it was happening. After Mike Trout committed to play, that he said he was like, I'm in, I'm playing for Team USA during the All-Star break. After that, there was just a ripple effect and a flood of all of these stars that decided to follow him. So while maybe the Angels aren't inspiring, or he might not be the flashiest player, or might not be the biggest personality, clearly the league respects him enough to where they said, oh, well, if Mike Trout's playing, then I'm going to play. Mookie Betts came after that, and Bryce Harper came after that, who's not playing anymore because of injury. But Kyle Tucker, Nolan Arenado, Jeff McNeil, Trey Turner, like they all just started like flooding in. JT Realmuto. And so we see he clearly has a big impact on this team. And I think there are just a lot of guys that want to like play with him and just be around him to learn from that baseball mind. He is, in my opinion, has been the best player in baseball for the last, I don't know, half decade, almost a decade at this point. So at least the best hitter. So I think he had a massive impact on not only the roster construction, but there's a lot of fans that were like, well, if we get the best player in baseball to play, then I'm in. I'm gonna watch as well.
No excuses for the rest of the players. And it's really interesting that the insurance was able to handle him, right? Because he should be
That's true.
among the most valuable commodities in all of baseball, right? And we've seen a lot of casualties, unfortunately, due to insurance, right? And one of the biggest casualties was Clayton Kershaw. How do you think it that would affect a little bit the morale, or the replacement will come in like this is for Clayton or whatever, right?
Kershaw is, I mean, he is the best pitcher of the generation, just like we were talking about with Mike Trout. I would say that he's been the best pitcher of the last decade. He's had some injuries, obviously, but I mean, I'm 26, so I like grew up with him being at his peak. So I was so upset when I saw him had he had to withdraw or couldn't get that insurance to cover him. I have a hard time thinking that it's going to affect the morale of the team that much because they're not even together yet. Like they haven't even come all together to start training together yet. So it's like almost out of sight, out of mind, in my opinion. I think a lot of the fans are really depressed about it or are bummed out that he's not playing because, I mean, this is one of the biggest storylines and the biggest things that holds the WBC back is the US pitchers never go, like the top ones. But I would say that a big plus about it, of course, there's no one really, aren't very many players that can replace Kershaw, but he did get replaced by Nick Martinez, who is not only a very solid and I would say underrated pitcher for the Padres, But he also has a lot of experience playing for Team USA. He knows what it means to represent his country and to play against international competition, especially Japan. He played in the Tokyo Olympics in 2021 and has had opportunities to play in both NPB and KBO. So while I think that he may not be on the same level of talent as Kershaw right now, he has the grit and the passion and the intensity like that we saw in the Olympics and the, I guess, commitment that we really want to see from the players. So I don't think it's going to take away a ton now that he's replacing him.
Got it.
Morale.
WBC is a lot of pressure every game, right? There's no like three-game series where you can take game one off and you know, like go. Every game is important. There have been some major upsets. The biggest upset ever was Canada over the U.S., right? That no one can explain it, right? It happened. And those things are what make baseball magical. You never know what's going to happen. Do you foresee this U.S. team being focused and taking each rival with the possibility of if we don't play well, we're going to lose?
Yeah, I hope so, because you're right. This WBC format is just, it's so different from what we're used to seeing from baseball. Everywhere else in baseball, the sport is played overall. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And this is a sprint. Like we have a 162 game MLB season with every postseason series is 5 games or 7 games. After the pool stage, it is single elimination and anything can happen in one game of baseball. I think every baseball fan knows that. So I was listening to an interview that Mark DeRosa was doing yesterday, maybe even earlier today, on the Chris Rose rotation. He was talking about how he is preparing for even like not only Mexico, because that's their biggest rival in Pool C, but also he's preparing for Great Britain and Colombia and Canada. So assuming he's telling the truth, I think he is taking all of the teams seriously, and he needs to because anything can happen.
You publish your rankings. How do you see the U.S. right now with all the people who are leaving the Dominican Republic pitching staff, the U.S. losing some players? What's the current ranking for Sean?
Oh, that's a good question. And I haven't posted my updated power rankings because those power rankings that you saw, I think those were on January 1st, on New Year's. So there's been a lot of like roster news that we've seen since then. And back then I did have Dominican Republic 1. I had USA 2 and Japan 3. I had that as the top tier. But with there being a slight gap between USA, Dominican Republic, and then Japan. But with all of the news, not only we have all of the pitchers from the Dominican that aren't playing, Framber Valdez, Luis Castillo, Luis Severino, Freddy Peralta, all the bullpens are Anthony Dominguez. So you got all those guys. And then for the U.S., you had Clayton Kershaw drop out, and then Nestor Cortez can't play, and Logan Webb wasn't on the roster. So they've both kind of dropped for me a little bit. And Japan has stayed right there. Like they have not lost anyone. So I legitimately see all three teams having a pretty equal chance at winning the tournament. I think right now, if I had to pick one, I think I might go USA because the Dominicans just lost. They lost a lot of pitching. They still have some of the best pitching in the tournament. They have Sandy Alcantara, one of the best pitchers in the world right now, and Christian Javier. And they still have all of that bullpen. But I see the U.S. having the best lineup. I see Japan having the best starting rotation pitching. And I see the Dominicans kind of having the best all-around team. But I just have a hard time thinking that anybody's going to be able to beat that Team USA lineup right now. It's just all-stars and MVPs all the way down.
But the path is kind of difficult, right, for the U.S. They get the quarterfinals against either Venezuela or Puerto Rico, right? And then the semifinal will be against Japan. And then so it's kind of harder than the path that in paper, that, like, for example, Dominican Republic doesn't have to go that that hard of a path. If they win the group, of course, like that's why every game matters. You cannot have a sleep because if you're second in your group, you might have a quarterfinal of U.S. versus Dominican Republic, which will bust all and every bracket out there, right?
Well, that's what I would say. That's what I was going to say as well. Is the thing about the Dominican Republic, and they are absolutely loaded top to bottom, but the hard part is their pool is what people are calling the pool of death, or in football, soccer terms, the group of death. There is a world where, like, Puerto Rico is really good. Venezuela has it, maybe their best team they've ever had. So, like, I don't know. If they slip up and lose one game, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, that would explode a lot of things. The pitch limits, for those who don't know, also affect a lot. Like, you won't have Alcantara going nine innings. He might want to, or he can't, right?
I just finished recording an episode of my podcast right before this, and I mentioned that I said on my podcast, is like, Sandy is going to have such a tough time coming out after like 50 pitches.
Yeah.
Because he always wants to go that full game.
Like the manager going to the mound and he's like, no, keep me here. No, you can't, right? So it's interesting, and it also benefits the teams with patience. What's your take on Strowman? Like he got you the title, and he now says, "I'm going to play for another team." How do you take that as a fan?
Yeah, I don't know. It's at first it was just confusing. It was like, I honestly, a lot of people didn't even realize that he was Puerto Rican. They didn't realize that his mother, I believe it's his mother, right?
Yes, his mother.
Yeah. And so a lot of people were just like, wait, how is that even possible? I think we've seen players go from one team to another to represent another heritage or part of their family, but it just makes it so much deeper that he was the center of
MVP,
that
2017
win. He was the MVP. He beat Puerto Rico. Yeah. So it felt weird. But from what I understand, it was just as weird, if not weirder, for Puerto Rican fans.
Well, in 2017, they had asked him to join the team. Well, they asked also Nolan Arenado, right? But they decided, okay, I'm going to play for the U.S. So that's part of it, right? Like when you got heritage from many places. We saw Alex Rodriguez play for the U.S., not win, then go play for the Dominican Republic, then not win again. So it doesn't always work out. So it was kind of interesting because when he won, he blocked half of Puerto Rico Twitter, right? And now he's back here and he's basically the ace of the team. But in a short tournament, bullpen is king.
Puerto Rico is not lacking at all in the bullpen.
How do you beat the U.S.? How do you see the U.S. losing a game? I don't see a weakness in their team.
I think if they're, are you talking about in the pool round, the pool stage?
At any point in the tournament, do you think it would have to be a high scoring game for the US to lose?
I think so. The only exception to that, and I think I'll preface it with saying the USA team is top to bottom significantly better, but you could have a scenario where Julio Urias for Mexico just throws a gem. And of course he can't pitch a full game.
Yeah.
But if he throws five shutout innings, which is very possible, hitters are still warming up for the season. And so if he throws a couple shutout innings, I could see them finding a way to maybe scrounge out an upset win. That would just, the baseball world would explode if that happened.
but no more than the Canada game, right? But I mean, yeah. Mexico's bullpen is also good, and Randy is playing for them instead of for Cuba, right? So that gives them a great bat there.
I think their team is underrated with Randy Arozarena. You got Joey Meneses, who just broke out for the Nationals. So you got a lot of guys that Alex Verdugo, who's played for Mexico in the past. You got a lot of guys that are MLB regulars that have a lot of experience. So I think that they, They're my favorite to come out of Pool C with, like, as the second seed behind USA. But if they find a way to win an extra game, maybe they could be the top seed.
Well, that will be something. Like we said, if Dominican Republic or the US get the second seed, the quarterfinals, that's must-see TV, right? That will be like... Lastly, I want to go over MVP of the tournament if the US wins. Who do you think it will be?
Ooh, if USA wins, who will be the MVP? Trying to figure out if I should say Trout or anyone else. I think I could see it being... I'm going to say I see it either being Trout or Mookie Betts. I think Mookie is going to have a great tournament too. He's just rock solid. His five tools, like his whole game, defense, offense, you know, on the base paths, like there's not just a single aspect of his game that is lacking. So I think both of those guys have a good chance to, but I can't take it away from Trout. I think it would have to be Trout.
The thing is, how will the U.S. use them? Will they play all the games? Or like you have five outfielders. Will you sit him down a couple of games and someone from another team gets more numbers because they play all the games, right? So yeah,
I was listening to another interview with Mark DeRosa, again, U.S. manager. He's mentioned a couple times the pool stage for him. He's going to try to get everybody some playing time. But once it goes on to the elimination games, he said he's just going to play the hot hand of everyone. So, like, whoever's hottest, it's a one game. Like, that could be anyone.
Yeah, that sounds good. But if Mike Trout is 0-for-25, he's playing in the quarterfinals. So, I
don't, well, yeah. That was the last part. He said, the person that was interviewing him, it was like, wait, so you're going to try to, like, sit these guys if they are doing well? He's like, well, not Mike Trout. I've never seen Mike
Trout. Or Mookie Betts, right? No. And thanks a lot for this. This conversation has been really good. Do you have any question?
Ooh, when I posted on Twitter that I think, like, my original prediction, and I won't post like an official prediction or winner until right before the tournament, but my first feel was that it would be Dominican Republic and Venezuela that made it out. I had so many Puerto Rican fans that were like, no way, there's no way Venezuela's making it, not us.
Well, the thing is, Puerto Rico has beaten Venezuela consistently in the World Baseball Classic. I don't know this year, right? So it's a tough tournament, right? And last thing is, this is Yadier Molina managerial job. So is he looking to try to go to MLB after this? He has to have a good showing. You know, he fires everyone up. So the over under on ejections might be two for him. I don't know how that works, but
two sounds about right.
Very fiery manager. So a handsome manager. So we will see what effect he has, especially on calling the game, right? The pitching, the scouting. He knows all the U.S. players. He knows all the Dominican players. What effect does Yadier Molina have on the game? That's also a factor outside the lines, right? That might influence some things.
Did you see that quote, that conversation that Yadi had with Adam Wainwright, where he was saying how Yadi was like, you should be on Team Puerto Rico because you're my brother. But then he was like, but if you pitch for Team USA, I'm going to know all your pitches.
Yeah, on every situation, right? So,
So I think that him being the manager will be interesting. It's like you said, might have a couple ejections. I know that Espada was going to originally be the manager, but I think having Yadi there, the players seem to really like him, and hopefully he brings that like recent player experience that will help fire them up.
I hope this helps you on your future rankings. I think they were okay. Your rankings were pretty accurate, even with all the flack you got. Yeah.
Yeah, got a little bit of, well, doesn't matter where I rank who, I'm gonna get flack from somebody, so.
Yeah. I hope everyone follows you and sees your podcast. Great information, great analysis. And after the World Baseball Classic, please continue listening to Baseball Is Not Boring podcast, which is also really good. Thank you and blessings.
Thank you so much. I really, this has been a ton of fun. So it's been awesome.
See you.